Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's go to the fan hotline, which is brought to you by the law firm of workers' compensation law firm of Hall & Capitas. And talk to our good friend Ray Fittipaldi of the Post Gazette. And Ray, I've taken in all of the analysis over the last few days of this draft, and I think it's pretty clear that for the most part, people like what the Steelers did. I don't know. Where do you fall on that?
Yeah, Paul, I tend to agree with you. I think most people in Steelers fandom, like the team, realized that the running game needed an upgrade. So, you know, Najee Harris pick, I think, is universally liked among the fan base. I don't know, you're talking about analytics people or, you know, some other draft experts, they don't like that pick. But I think people who follow the Steelers closely understand that that was something that really, really needed to be addressed. So, the Freiermuth pick I kind of liked, even though it was a little bit off the radar. And then you get two linemen in the third and fourth rounds, which arguably were two of your bigger needs. I thought they did pretty well. Obviously, we got to see how these guys pan out. But, you know, at first blush, I thought Colbert did a pretty good job in addressing some of these needs when in a year he had a lot of holes in that roster to fill.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no question about it. I mean, I think the biggest thing, Ray, is they did actually go and get, you know, some of the other quarterbacks, the linemen. They got two linemen. They got a tight end. I mean, it's not like they didn't address these things.
No, absolutely. You know, I just think some people thought, hey, they're probably going to go center in round two and, you know, pick one of the guys who maybe had a bigger name like Creed Humphrey or, like a guy like Josh Myers from Ohio State. But, you know, at the conclusion of the draft on Saturday, Kevin Colbert said, if you read between the lines a little bit, he didn't think there was a whole lot of difference between guys like Creed Humphrey and some of the guys who were picked later, such as Kendrick Green. So when he talked last Monday at his pre-draft news conference about the depth of this O-line class, he called it unusually deep at center. So, he wasn't blowing smoke. He took advantage of that depth at center, took a tight end beforehand because he knew he wasn't going to be able to get Freiermuth later. And then they went out and got Kendrick Green, who's a little bit undersized. I mean, I understand that. He's not – I don't think this is going to be like a slam dunk. He's going to be a great player, but they really like him. They think he's nasty. He's athletic. And they think he's going to fit well in this new zone blocking scheme that Adrian Clem is going to install.
When you talk about this new zone blocking scheme, that's just basically going along with what Matt Canada's offense asks for, right?
Correct. Although last year, you know, Matt Canada, I mean, what they did last year when Matt was the quarterback's coach, they tried to use some of his stuff. And then, you know, by midseason, it kind of went away. It didn't mesh right when you still had Randy Fichtner and Sean Surratt involved. But now that it is his offense and, you know, he's in charge, Adrian Clem is the guy who's, going to draw up most of the running schemes. Yeah, this This is the offense that he likes to run. And as you know, Paul, in zone schemes, you can maybe get away with being 6'2", 305 like Green is. If you're athletic enough, if you know how to move and, you know, get your hat on a defensive lineman, then you could make that work. So, like I said, we'll see how these moves pan out. But, you know, for what the Steelers and what they're trying to do, you know, these picks certainly made sense.
Well, there's no question about it. I mean, that's what they, you know, that's what they tried to do. And of course, you know, it's funny, we've spent a lot of time talking about the first and second pick and even the third pick. And we've spent a lot of time talking about the punter, which was the last pick. In between, there were some guys that were taken. What are your thoughts? I mean, what can you tell people about the two linebackers, you know, Quincy Roche and Buddy Johnson?
Yeah, I mean, Roche was a guy who was the AAC Defensive Player of the Year at Temple. You know, goes down to Miami. He's not as productive at Miami, but, you know, it's a different level of competition. And, you know, he had the sort of, you know, he was playing with better players down there. But, I think he was still third-team All-ACC. So he's a good player. You know, I would expect him, like Anthony Ciccolo and Ola Adeniyi before him, I would expect him to be very good on special teams. And he'll compete for that top reserve outside linebacker spot with Cassius Marsh. I mean, Cassius Marsh probably has an edge now. I mean, he's like a 4 or 5 year vet. He's been around. He was with the Steelers for half a year last year. But maybe Roche can grow into that role eventually. If not, you know, next season, then maybe by 2022. You know, as far as Buddy Johnson goes, another guy, they're just going to plug him in on special teams. They need good special teams players. They lost Tyler Matakevich last year. I just mentioned Ola Adeniyi and Ciccolo, they lost them. So they need guys like that. I don't expect Buddy Johnson to come in and push Robert Spillane and Vince Williams right away for playing time. But I think eventually, you know, if he does well on special teams and makes the roster that way, then I think eventually, you know, once Vince Williams does move on, you know, I think we'll have a chance to compete for playing time in the defense as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, you know, those are some guys that people haven't really talked a whole lot about, you know, and that's just been sort of what it has been. Everybody's been talking about the other guys, all of the other guys, apparently. You know, you look at the cornerback they got, Trey Norwood. What did you think of him?
Big production. I think he had 5 interceptions, which was among the most in FBS last year. The interesting part about him, Paul, is he was coming off an ACL injury in 2019. He wasn't even a full-time starter. He was kind of like a part-time starter for them. You know, he played some corner there, but he also played, you know, can play some safety. Mike Tomlin referred to him like as a Swiss Army utility knife. So he's one of these guys who's going to come in. He's probably not going to play outside corner. He's probably going to compete for time, you know, being like a hybrid type player or a safety or, you know, that sixth defensive back that they always seem to be looking for. So we'll see how he pans out. You know, I was looking at his, you know, some of the draft analysis on him, and he's not the most athletic guy, you know, didn't test well, but whenever you have ball production in college, I think NFL coaches value that, and they think maybe that can translate into the league. It doesn't always happen. Some of these guys just aren't cut out for the NFL. But, you know, seventh round, late round flyer on a guy who you know, produced turnovers in college, at that point, why not?
All right. I'll ask you about another guy, Isaiah Loudermilk.
Well, Loudermilk is a guy. He's like 6'7", 290, 295. And if you look at the defensive line, Paul, Tyson Alulu is 34. I think Cam Hayward is 31, too. It's like 28, 29. So all those guys are getting a little bit long in the tooth. And I don't think some of the guys they brought in recently, I don't think they're terribly happy with them. Chris Wormley was signed. They acquired him in a trade before last season. He was injured. You know, they brought him back, but I don't really know what you have in him. And then Isaiah Buggs, who was a sixth-round pick in 2019, he really hasn't stepped forward and, you know, taken hold of any kind of a big role on this team. So this is definitely, you know, a developmental pick. You know, he's probably going to make the roster, but I'm not sure how much he's going to play early on. But it seems like Carl Dunbar and the rest of that staff are excited about his size, number one. And number two, the fact that he played in a similar defense at Wisconsin, and maybe that learning curve, you know, maybe he'll be able to pick things up pretty quickly because of that.
Did I read, maybe it was you that was writing, that they, in the undrafted portion of Saturday, they picked up a corner that actually a lot of people had ranked, you know, reasonably high, that somehow slipped through the draft?
Well, they did sign DeMarcus Acy today. They made a few other they waived a few other guys to make room on the roster for him. You know, listen, when you're an undrafted free agent, there are reasons why. But yes, I think he did have kind of like a late round grade. You know, some people thought maybe he would get drafted last year. He didn't. He kind of bounced around with, I think it was San Francisco and Seattle last year. So we'll see what this guy brings to the table. But this is a guy who came out in the 2020 draft and actually was on the practice squad with the Seahawks a couple of times last year.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think it's kind of interesting. You know, sometimes you find a gem in that. But all in all, again, Ray, I mean, if you look at what the Steelers needed and where they needed to go, you know, they probably went there, you know, and took care of what they needed to take care of.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, Paul. You know, since January, we've been talking about how are the Steelers going to improve? And everyone, it was consensus, you know, this team needs help on offense. And it turned out that way. I mean, a lot of times you speculate about the draft and you do your homework and, you know, you think you have it down and they kind of go a different direction. But they didn't do that this year. I mean, what we've known since January about how this team needed to get better, you know, Colbert thought the same thing. You know, they needed a new running back. You know, they were not happy with their running game. Obviously, Marquise Pouncey retires. You need a new center. So they addressed a lot of their needs early on offense. And then, like we said, with the defensive guys, they're either going to be special teams players early on or they're going to be projects who are going to sit and learn behind some established veterans. So when you look at it that way, they addressed what they had it to on offense. And, you know, maybe they'll get lucky or get fortunate and some of these late-round picks on defense will pan out as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big thing is how, you know, how is it all going to fit together and work together well? Ray, thanks for breaking it down like you always do, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
All right, Paul, anytime.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.